Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
I had so much fun interviewing Dr. Tim Kimmel last week with Family Matters. You know, I just had to go back. I had to go back and interview his daughter, Karis Kimmel Murray. You remember that wind dummy illustration that Tim used? Well, now you get to meet her personally. You get to hear from her personally this week. You know, just exactly what was it like to grow up as this wind dummy of grace in the Kimmel household? Well, you're getting ready to find out. Karis has just released her first book, and it's titled Grace-Based Discipline: How to Be at Your Best When Your Kids Are at Their Worst. Karis writes and speaks as a voice to the next generation of parents. She also co-hosts the Family Matters Minute, a nationally syndicated one-minute radio segment heard by millions of listeners every single day. To learn more about Karis and her new book, you can also visit familymatters.net. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss three things. Number one, what is a blueprint of grace? Number two, why grace is a radical concept, especially when it comes to discipline. And number three, what is the difference between grace and mercy? Today's lesson is titled Grace-Based Discipline. Well, I am in the studio today with Karis Kimmel Murray, and she has a brand new book. It's called Grace-Based Discipline. Hey, Karis.
Hi, Dustin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to speak with you on the subject of grace-based discipline. You know, when people think, when they think specifically of this podcast of God, sex, and you, a lot of people go, oh, well, it's just about sexuality and purity and all that kind of stuff. And I get to talk with folks like you because what we're really dealing with is marriage.
Right.
And marriage and sexuality are two sides of the same coin.
Right.
And now we get to talk about the fruits of marriage and the kids and the children and the jobs and the stresses of finances and all those things.
Right.
And you have a pretty big background in grace-based everything, I think. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, my parents, Dr. Tim Kimmel and my mom, Darcy, they founded a ministry called Family Matters 35 plus years ago. And, you know, they recognized, you know, my dad's background is in youth ministry, and they recognized a need for families to get good Christian relational help. They were finding as they were, you know, my dad would speak at a lot of youth camps. He was just finding that kids were coming through the doors of those churches, whether they grew up in the church or whether it was the first time that they were there, whether they had Christian families, churched families, or unchurched families, that some of the same issues, you know, that they were facing. And so he would often speak to the kids, and then he would kind of share some of his ideas for what God says about relationships, what God says about marriage, what he says about parenting with the youth pastor. And more the youth pastors would say, well, can you kind of stay on and talk with our parents about some of this stuff? You know, we've never heard anybody say that the theology of parenting is grace, that we ought to treat the people that we love the way that God treats us. Like, nobody is saying that. Could you, you know, stay back and could you talk with the parents? And so they saw a need to start a ministry for parents at every age and stage of life, and to just help restore the family so that it can again be the instrument of restoration and reformation that God intends for it to be.
And what a great, I mean, just who doesn't need more grace in their marriage, in their life, at work, in finances, and everything, right? So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is the gospel that we, imperfect, unholy people can have a relationship with a holy God because of his grace, because of his decision to extend grace to us. And so that's the blueprint that should apply everywhere else in our lives, in our marriages, in our parenting, at work, in our finances. And what I talk about a lot in my book is that we have to give ourselves that grace as well. We have to accept God's grace, but then we have to give the grace to ourselves, because if we don't do that, we don't have a bank account to draw on to give it to anybody else. We have to allow God's grace to flow through us to other people.
Yeah. You know, so your dad is basically, I call him Captain Grace. Do you guys call him that? Does he?
Yeah, he makes us call him that, right? Dr. Grace.
Yeah. So no, he's written many, many books, several books on grace, and you're the first born.
Mm-hmm.
And are you also the first child to actually write a book on grace as well?
I am. Okay. I'm the first child to write a book on grace as well. And my dad, he wrote the book called Grace-Based Parenting. He also wrote a book called Grace-Filled Marriage. He's written several, many other books, I think 14, 15 books at that. That's probably the wrong number, and I'll hear about it later that I got the number wrong. But, we kind of have one channel, one message, and that is grace should transform our relationships.
Right.
I'm the firstborn of four. And so our house, our home growing up really was the proving ground for these ideas that he taught and preached about. And, at the time it's a radical message, because grace is just kind of radical. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's hard to accept, Karis, isn't it?
It is.
I don't deserve what you're giving me. I should deserve some type of punishment or discipline right now. And you're not,
we don't deserve grace. And we certainly can recognize where other people don't deserve grace. And so it seems so unfair that other people should be getting grace for some of the things that they're doing. So that's why grace is radical. It seems like we should have to do more.
Yeah, we should have to work
in order to have a relationship with God. It shouldn't be that easy. Yeah. And I'm not trying to diminish the role of sanctification, of, so obeying God, because he clearly lays out standards in the Bible that he calls us to obey. And it's the same in our relationships. There are standards that we set in our homes, in our marriages, that we're called to obey. But the point of those rules, so to speak, is not so that we can earn any favor from God, or earn any favor from our spouse, or our kids earn any favor from us. Those rules exist so that when we live within them, it increases our joy. God wants for his children, you and I, to experience joy, and nothing steals joy faster than crossing the boundaries that God puts in place for us.
Yeah.
If you know that your fireplace is hot a lot of the time, and you tell your kid, don't ever touch the fireplace, maybe it's not hot all the time, but you make the rule, don't touch it ever, because you don't want for them to reach out and touch it when it is hot. It's not that you're putting this rule there to just see, like, how much do they love me? We'll find out based on whether or not they obey me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what God does to us. That's not what we do our kids. It's because we know that burning their hand on the fireplace is a fast way for them to lose joy. And we want them to have joy. And so it's the same with us, with God, and with our kids.
What's the difference between grace and mercy?
I think a lot of people interchange those two concepts, and I can understand why, but for the purpose of this book and for the purpose of our message at Family Matters, grace is when you get something that you don't deserve. And mercy is when you don't get what you deserve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I see mercy as embedded in grace. Mercy is a part of grace. And grace, is sort of pregnant with mercy as well.
That's good.
It encompasses it. But mercy specifically is we have done something and we deserve punishment for it.
Yeah.
But we don't get punishment for it. And I would say it's not that we don't get discipline, because discipline is a form of grace. Discipline and punishment are different. But with mercy, we don't get a punishment that we deserve, because God decides to give us mercy and to forgive us instead.
Yeah.
But with grace, sometimes we get something that we don't deserve. And sometimes that thing that we get from God is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because any attention, any teaching, any molding, any shaping that we receive from God is completely undeserved. And so when we do receive that from God, it's a form of grace. It's a form of his favor that is for us, not against us.
You know, when I was talking to your father before this interview,
mm-hmm.
and I said, so this stuff, this grace stuff, it actually works, Tim. Your daughter has written a book on discipline, and it's and how excited he got, because this is the fruit of what God has taught him, and now you're teaching. So how did the book come about? A grace-based discipline.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's another chapter, I guess, in the life of Family Matters.
Yeah.
And so tell us how it came about, and you've got your own family and, mm-hmm. and children now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've been married to Mike for going on 16 years. We have two daughters. Our older daughter, Riley, is 14. Our younger daughter, Lydia, is 12. She would want me to say she's almost 13. And that's important right now.
Right. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I'm parenting my kids. My husband and I are parenting our kids the way that we were parented. And his parents were very much grace-based parents as well, even though they maybe didn't have the same verbiage that they applied to, or they didn't, they hadn't completely unwrapped the context of it. But we did know each other growing up too, though. So our families have kind of raised their kids alongside each other, and now Mike and I are raising our kids the same way that we were parented. And so it isn't just lip service, it does work. And so I've always been a writer. I've always expressed myself that way. That's been one of my art forms. And so this isn't the first book that I thought I would write. I mean, when I was younger, I didn't think, hey, I'm going to write a book on discipline because
right.
that sounds about exciting as watching paint dry, you
right.
know. But after I became a parent, I came to realize that, you know, discipline might sound like a super boring topic that you don't need to know about until you do.
Mm.
Like until it's staring you in the face, until you're staring down the barrel of a loaded toddler or teenager and you go, I need to know what to do.
Right.
And then within our ministry, I've been officially on staff here at Family Matters for about 6 years. And, you know, working with parents, I teach at a lot of MOPS groups. I talk to a lot of moms and dads one-on-one and in groups. And in terms of our frequently asked questions,
mm-hmm.
it's like the first or second question is always, what do I do when my kid does such and such? What do I say when they mouth off and they say this? And what they're asking in those situations is, how do I discipline? How do I actually take this message of grace that we're to parent our kids the way God parents us, that we're to treat the people in our life the way that God treats us with grace? How does that apply to discipline? Because a lot of the time we think of grace and discipline as opposite things, and they're not opposite at all, because Hebrews 12:6 says that the Lord disciplines the one that he loves.
Mm.
It's biblical that God disciplines us.
Have you noticed, Karis, as raising your own children, how much grace God has extended to you through your children?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I have to ask for their forgiveness all the time because I blow it. You know, I blow up at them. I focus on the wrong things. I need for them to give me grace. And so when you kind of set the climate of your home on grace, when that becomes the thing that defines your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, and with those around you, then you have set up a context in which it comes a little bit more naturally to ask your kids, will you forgive me? And I have situations that I have to do that all the time. I'm thinking of one in particular, and this isn't even in the book because it just happened a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, I wrote a book on grace and discipline, and I still have instances, right,
mm-hmm.
where I mess it up. So I was here in the office at Family Matters, and I was meeting with a couple of members of my publishing team, And my daughters had the day off of school. It was a half, or it wasn't even a half day. It was just a day off for them. And so our office is nearby a kind of a nice swanky outdoor mall. And my girls are teenagers now, so they love to kind of go gather at the mall with their friends and walk around. And they're old enough now that I felt comfortable just saying, hey, I'm going to drop you off here. I'm going to go over to my office. You know how to get there. I expect you to come and check in an hour and a half, kind of gave them time. And so they were walking through the door at Family Matters the same time that I'm, you know, standing in the meeting room, boardroom meeting with members of my publishing team. And they come through, and my older daughter, Riley, had a shirt on. She's tall. So she had a shirt on that was not quite long enough to cover her torso, so should we say. It did not come all the way to the top of her jeans. And we have rules about what's appropriate to wear. She wasn't at school that day. And honestly, it was a last minute decision to come to the mall. So she was just kind of in what she had been around the house in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't think to look. It was not an intentional thing, but she comes walking in the office and her midriff's showing. Mm-hmm. And she's a beautiful girl. And I noticed, I could tell that a couple other people noticed, right? And so I'm like, wow. Great shirt choice, Riley. So glad that you decided to put that on this morning. Hey, why don't you walk back into your papa's office and show him what shirt you chose? I'm sure he'll be proud of you. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And that was wrong. That was the wrong approach that I took, because in that instance, I was acting in my own best interest and not in Riley's best interest. Mm. It was shaming. It was embarrassing, and it wasn't for her good in that instance. Now, is there a different way I could have approached it? Right. Yeah, definitely not in real time in front of other people and embarrassed her. I could have pulled her aside and went, "Man, I just kind of noticed your shirt, so maybe we got to go home and change." Right.
Right.
But in that instance, I was trying to cover my own tracks. Cover my own rear, so to speak, in front of people who I was trying to impress. And that was about me. And so because sanctification and the Holy Spirit is working in my heart constantly, and because we've set up a climate both in our relationship, Riley and I, and context within our ministry and with all the people that I work with, we do this all the time with each other, where we mess up and we instantly, as soon as I realize it, I try to stop and say, you know what, that was wrong. So in front of my publishing team, again, I said, you know what, everybody, I'm sorry. What I just did right there was not right. And I kind of called out what I had done and the way that I had done it and why it wasn't appropriate. And I said, Riley, will you forgive me? I'm so sorry. You know, and she, in that moment, she's like, Mom, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You know, like she kind of brushed it off like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. And maybe she really felt like it wasn't a big deal. But I think those are the kind of things that become a big deal when we don't deal with them.
Well, those are very wise words from my guest today, Karis Kimmel Murray. Things can become a big deal when we don't deal with them. Karis's book is titled Grace-Based Discipline, How to Be at Your Best When Your Kids Are at Their Worst. You can find more information by visiting familymatters.net. Well, we haven't heard the last from Karis. All this week, we're going to talk about God's grace. And who doesn't need more and more of God's grace? Well, tomorrow, we're specifically going to continue our conversation with Karis as she discusses, number one, how to be a first responder to your child's crisis, and number two, how to separate your child from their behavior. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's a group that focuses on healthy sexuality, both for men and women. So you're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at @PurityPastor. And if you've got questions, I would love to hear from you. DustinDanielsRadio.com is the place to go to send me an email. 1 Corinthians 4:20 reads, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's doing something. It's living, living in God's power. And that power is the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior God." I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.